A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 464. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television. And this time we are continuing our discussion about Space Precinct. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So we are looking at another Gerry Anderson show, as we like to do every year if we can. Space Precinct was originally broadcast in the UK on Sky One and BBC Two in 1995. It was a little bit earlier in the fall of 94 in American syndication. As often as the case, it was targeted in many ways for the American market. They did a total of 24 episodes that were about 45 minutes each in one series. It only lasted for one. And it has a mixture of alien and human space cops and flying car and spaceship models, all sorts of strange alien species, and lots of good Gerry Anderson explosions too.
Yes, very, it's an explosive series because it's Gerry Anderson. Kinetic, lots of stuff going on the screen.
Very much so.
So let's talk about some of the episodes and the cases that Space Precinct have to deal with. As you said, Brian, 24 episodes, mostly standalone episodes. There are two-parters towards the end of the series. Although we note that, as ever with the Gerry Anderson show, broadcast order varied in different regions. Lieutenant Brogan and Officer Haldane are assigned to a new case pretty much every episode. Some of it's familiar police stuff, for instance, futuristic drug deals that have gone wrong. But there's also more space stuff that I should imagine, Brian.
Yes, we have science fiction cases with killer cyborgs and cloning involved. And there was a fire cult that has some science fictional things in there and some fairly dark things come in there. We get some exploration of racism and hate crimes and hate crimes against immigrants, you know, alien immigrants. So we get aliens and science fictional things being used as allegory, which of course is very common in science fiction, but it's nice to see that being used here. We do get quite a bit with organized crime as well.
We do, yes. And you're quite right. It was nice to see them dealing with the subject of xenophobia and hate crimes and using this sort of stuff as an allegory. Very nice to see that. You're quite right. There is dark stuff. There's obviously, for a police show, there's murder. I noted the underground fight to the death clubs. Seems a bit grim. There's also a very interesting episode, which is done in a sort of Rashomon style, where our heroes are facing an internal affairs investigation to a case that they handled. But everybody seems to remember what happened differently. We'll find out why that is, but that was an interesting one, I thought, Brian.
Yes, there were some nice things like that in there as well.
And I couldn't help thinking, as I was watching Space Precinct this time, that a lot of these weird space crimes reminded me of the very early, late 1970s and early 1980s Judge Dredd comic book stories, of which, of course, I'm a huge fan. I don't know if that was a reference or an influence on this show, but I suppose when you're imagining a futuristic space police, some of these weird space crimes that you have to come up with, there's similarities, I guess, Brian.
Yes, certainly that sort of thing happens. And whether it's an influence or not is hard to say. But yeah, it's interesting to see that there were some things in common. Now, we should talk about the response to Space Precinct. It had been sold to U.S. syndication before the first episode was finished, but when it started broadcast, the networks were a bit confused by the show. With the sort of creature makeup and model work and some of the humor, it seemed like maybe it was aimed at a younger audience, but some of the stories were a bit dark and a bit adult in the themes, and it was a little bit hard for them to figure out where to put it.
Yes, and of course where they did put it was on late night broadcast, it seems, on a lot of American channels broadcast it quite late. And as a result, of course, it got quite low viewing figures in those slots. We remember Gerry Anderson, of course, experienced similar problems in the 1970s with his live action shows, particularly with UFO, which bounced about broadcast schedules before being sadly cancelled. As we noted in our last episode, Space Precinct starts on American TV. It comes to Sky One in 1995, and then in September 95, BBC Two starts showing it at a 6 p.m. slot. Thanks again to the Radio Times genome. But a 6 p.m. slot where it attracted younger viewers, including my 8-year-old son, who was a big fan. And it perhaps found its audience there, but it might have been, unfortunately, a little too late, Brian.
Yeah, it's interesting that the BBC saw it as being suitable for a 6 p.m. slot, where the American broadcasters certainly didn't. And putting a new series like the, you know, a show that was a new first run series and was fairly big budget, it could never do well in a late night time slot. That just doesn't attract enough viewers and enough attention. And not surprisingly, it was canceled after one season.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and maybe they had missed the mark a little bit with the tone of the show about where it should sit. Should it be this sort of younger, more comical thing, or the more adult, darker show? And they perhaps mixed that a little too much in this case.
Yeah, it's a shame. I wonder if the rush to get it ready, because it had already been sold into American syndication and they needed those first episodes, I wonder if there was the rush was part of it as well, Brian.
It's quite possible. I think maybe some script editing and cleaning up at the script stages could have helped a little bit, that maybe they could keep the humorous elements and the darker elements, but make it work a little bit better as either a younger show or a more adult show. But we did end up with something that was a little bit of an odd mix that unfortunately was hard to place.
Yeah, shame.
So we do like to talk about spin-offs, about things going into other media from a TV show we're covering. And we certainly had some for Space Precinct. We had toys and action figures, as was often the case with Gerry Anderson shows. The opportunity for merchandising was something that Anderson and his team were well aware of. And there were action figures, there were vehicle models, there were play sets and trading cards, mugs and pencils, even jigsaw puzzles. And some of that is still floating around on eBay if you look for it.
Yes, always a market for Gerry Anderson shows merchandise on eBay. I did find several when I was looking. Also, the UK hardback annual, which was a staple. And I think there is one in one of my son's boxes in our garage, Brian.
Oh, very nice.
We also like to talk about audiobooks. We're both big fans of Big Finish, and Big Finish have done some Space Precinct. They released two audiobooks narrated by Richard James in 2020. The first one, interestingly, is based on Paul Mayhew Archer's script for that unmade episode zero, Demeter City. That one's quite sounds quite interesting. That might explain some of the Brogan family backstory. And then the other one has four new cases for Brogan and Haldane. Both are still available, I see, to download from the Big Finish site, bigfinish.com. They're only a fiver each. And actually, I probably should at least listen to the Demeter City one, I think, Brian. I should probably get that.
Yes, I did listen to the first one, the Demeter City pilot, and it's interesting. It's not bad. It does start with Brogan as an NYPD cop, so it does give you a bit of an origin story for how he ends up in the Space Precinct setting. There were also some comics. In addition to those UK annuals, Time Bomb Comics have produced a couple issues of Spectrum, The Worlds of Gerry Anderson, which are using properties that Anderson Entertainment still has the rights to. And those were released in 2022 and 2023. And both issues include new Space Precinct stories. And those are still available on timebombcomics.com as well.
And you can hear me talking to the creative force behind Time Bomb Comics, Steve Tanner, on an episode of the Mega City Book Club podcast. If you want more details about Space Precinct in comics.
Yes, very nice. I read, I think, the first one and enjoyed it. The Spectrum comics are fun. Those are good.
Splendid stuff. So it's time for us to get to our own thoughts and feelings about Space Precinct from Gerry Anderson and his team. As ever, we like to start with the good stuff. Brian, what did you like about Space Precinct?
Okay, so the model work and some of the spaceships and those kind of types of things have a nice Anderson-esque feel to them. I like the, you know, flying police cars and the way they handle things like flying police chases and space travel police chases. The way they do those kinds of things and integrate those police show staples into a science fictional world. I think that was done quite nicely.
Yes, it is lovely to see some Gerry Anderson models flying around, exploding, the police chases. It never quite, for me, hits the heights of Derek Medin's work, but even so, it's still pretty exciting stuff. And I did like how each episode, particularly as the series progresses, starts with that sort of quick cut compilation of moments from the episode in that sort of Mission Impossible style. That's very exciting. So I thought that was well done.
Yes, that was nicely done. The episodes tend to have a nice sort of high-paced feel to them. The pacing doesn't lag. It's sort of nice, energy-filled adventure and police stories. So that's sort of fun. I like how they made that work.
And the lead actors seem to be throwing themselves into it and taking it very seriously. The people playing the human police seem to be, as I say, doing a very straightforward police procedural performances. So that's all pretty good.
What did you think of the look of Space Precinct?
So the problem is, I think the alien heads and costumes, for all their wizardry and technical skill, they do look a little bit like latex heads, really, don't they, Brian, I think? And it does, particularly on an HD screen, make it slightly difficult to take it seriously, is what I've found about the look of it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I like some of the world building they do, but putting the aliens in the police uniforms especially gave you like a weird dissonance, and I didn't think that worked very well. If they had made the look of the police uniforms and the police station and so on, if they had made that a little more futuristic and didn't try to make it look as much like a contemporary police show as they did, I think that could have worked better.
Right. In terms of writing of the episodes, I think they did a pretty good job with sort of future crimes for the Space Precinct to solve. And also, as we've commented on, that particularly interesting look at or using science fiction as an allegory to talk about racism and hate crimes and so on. I thought that stuff was pretty good, and I was glad to see it included here, Brian.
Yes, I think some of the allegorical stuff works quite well, and they have some nice ideas in there. So do you have anything else for the positive side, or should we go to negatives, as we dipped into a little bit already?
Yeah, I think we're starting to tend towards the negative. I found the tone of Space Precinct very uneven. There are moments where they're clearly trying for comedy. Comedy characters working within the space precinct plus the slow-mo robot. And then there's other moments where they're going for very serious stuff, tackling organized crime, some quite dark stuff going on in the underworld, and of course poor old Brogan and his family trying to juggle work-life balance. So I found it uneven in that respect, Brian. What about yourself?
Yeah, I would agree with that. They don't seem to know whether it's a light family police comedy or darker, more tense science fiction police drama. I also found the characters in here, most of the characters were rather generic stereotypes. And because of that, they didn't really develop and they didn't have much depth to them. You know, you had Brogan as the tough American cop protagonist, and you had Haldane as the cheeky sidekick kind of police character. The wife and children were all sort of, you know, generic mid-90s TV family. And so on. There were sort of a couple of comic sidekick cops who were there as well. So yeah, a lot of the characters, quite stereotypical and generic. And I think the show suffered quite a bit because of that.
Yes, having the precinct captain be an alien, but with the, you know, almost stereotypical New York police officer Irish accent. And he does the regularly sort of bawling out or tearing a strip off Brogan and Haldane, but also realizing that they're his best team and he has to send them out. That was all sort of, as you say, generic, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it comes down to the writing more than it does the acting. I think the actors were doing a pretty good job with what they had. But yeah, coming back to it, I saw some of this when it was new and kind of enjoyed it. And there were some things to enjoy now as well. But some of these things, like the characters in particular, really took it down for me.
Yeah. Now, I had a problem with the ADR, which I felt the dubbing felt quite obvious to me. Maybe that's just my own personal preference. But, you know, even when some of the non-mask-wearing actors appeared to be dubbed, as you say, Brian, there was probably set reasons for that, because all that kit and technology presumably makes an awful lot of noise. But I found that slightly distracting watching it this time.
Yeah, I wasn't too bothered by that, but it is something where it can be done well and it can be done not quite as well. And it may have been a bit rushed on some episodes here. I'm not sure.
You also noted that there's another sort of generic stereotype from the time, which seems a little bit uncomfortable now in terms of sort of what would you call it? Appropriate behavior in the office and the workplace?
Yeah. So the thing they have with Haldane being always interested in women, and especially Officer Jane Castle, it's kind of cringeworthy at this point. And the constant approach of her, to, you know, it seems like sexual harassment now, but it's played off as being a little bit comical, and she seems to be a little bothered by it, but not mind it too much. And there are references to the idea that everyone thinks they'll end up as a couple, and she sort of thinks they'll end up as a couple at some point. It was very strange.
It is a little bit strange looking at it now. And also the fact that not only is he sort of flirting with Jane, but he'll flirt with female witnesses and suspects and people they're assigned to protect as well, which now seems also inappropriate, although probably at the time is what police shows did when you had this young, cocky, romantic lead.
Yeah, maybe so. I think even then that may have been a little bit dated, but yeah, it's very strange, and I did struggle with that. One thing I'll mention more on the positive side, now that I'm thinking about it here, and we mention Officer Jane Castle, we had two women as partners, as police officers, who, you know, would go out in their own, I guess they're police ships rather than police cars. But you had the two women being very capable as a team on their own. And it was rarely remarked upon that you had two women as partners, you know, as their own team. So that was nice. I was pleased to see that. And I thought it was generally handled pretty well.
Yeah, they do that part well, thank goodness. I've mentioned my theory that this show may have been rushed at the, you know, despite the years it took to get it made, but at the end it may have been rushed to meet deadlines for broadcast. If they had decided to go one side or the other and market this, or in fact make it more for the younger audience, do you think it would have been more successful, Brian?
I think it probably would have been more successful if it were clearly a younger show. Then I think the US broadcasters would have scheduled it like a younger show, and you know, it could have picked up viewers that way. And likewise, if they had chosen to make it a darker show and more adult, and maybe kept some humor, but made it a slightly more adult variety of humor and a little less on that kind of blatant comic relief, then maybe that could have worked well in, you know, a time slot that was in the evening, maybe a bit later in the evening, but not a late night time slot.
Interesting. Okay, I think we might be done for that section. So unless you have anything else, Brian, do we want to move to recommendations?
I think we should move to recommendations.
Start us off.
So I am not going to recommend Space Precinct. It is an interesting look at what was being done in television and science fiction and police procedural type stuff at that time. It was an interesting look at what Gerry Anderson was doing in the 90s, and it was interesting to see some of the things they did with there. There were some enjoyable things in here, but on the whole, the issues it has really sort of brings it down. So no, I will not recommend Space Precinct. For Gerry Anderson live action stuff, I will redirect you to Space 1999 from the 70s.
Sadly, I'm in the same boat, Brian. I find myself unable to recommend Space Precinct because I've really struggled watching it this time. It was a lot more fun watching it with my 8-year-old son back in the day. I would say if you do have an ITVX subscription over here, it's worth watching the odd episode just to get a feel of it. Or if you use the Cinema Paradiso rental site, which I should have mentioned last time, the DVD set is on there. So again, it might be worth doing it that way. If you really are a Space Precinct fan and you want the DVD set, you've probably got it already, but I would say get it quickly before those network DVDs completely disappear. But yeah, I think it's two slightly sort of downward pointing thumbs from us here on British Invaders on this one, unfortunately, which is sad.
Yes. That is where we are with this. If you don't agree, if you are a big Space Precinct fan, or if you think some of the things that we had issues with were more positive, if you have different things to say about it, please let us know. I would love to hear some differing perspectives on Space Precinct.
Absolutely. Please do get in touch.
So, in summary, Space Precinct introduced us to Brogan and Haldane, these police officers in the future who are both humans from Earth and are out in space in Demeter City on this orbital space station that's a police station. And they are doing police investigations and solving crimes and putting away criminals in classic police procedural way with some science fiction twists and some nice allegory mixed in along with it.
Interesting stuff. So, next time, it is December and we are, as ever, drawing near the fireplace for some scary stories. We have some more ghost stories for Christmas to discuss. So in particular, next time we will be talking about the Tractate Midoth from 2013 and the Dead Room from 2018. Interesting stuff to talk about, and a creator that we're keen to say a few words about, who we're quite big fans of.
Yes, it's always good to come back to the Christmas ghost stories, so that will be nice for sure. Until then, you can find all of our past episodes at BritishInvaders.com, including quite a number of Gerry Anderson-related ones right now. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group there and join in on some of the conversations. And we are also on Instagram and Threads. We are British_Invaders_podcast on those platforms. So please join in and share your comments with us.
Please do. And also drop by and join in at the Voice of Geeks Network. British Invaders is a proud member of the Voice of Geeks Network at VogueNetwork.com. Drop by, tell them Brian and Eamon said hello.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.